Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is July 23rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or whatever podcast application you happen to use. So we love having you on live, though, because I really enjoy having a discussion, you know, and to get feedback from the people who are on the call. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week here in just a second, but I do want to narrow the amount of time we're doing this part of the call today because there's a lot of information. I want to kind of go through the Water Quality Association consumer opinion study and want to spend some time on that. But I am going to every week, for those of you that are here or maybe this is your first time, we ask three questions, and that is, was there anything this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can do to help you? Anybody have anything? I do have a few. Sounds like we're getting some background noise, so hopefully if you're able to mute yourself, keep the background noise down unless you have questions. But does anybody have any questions or anything happened this last week that is worthy of sharing or anything that you learned? Okay, then. That goes really narrow. Then we're going to jump straight into talking about this this consumer study. So it's something I...
We do have Brianne on the line, and I do want to give out some kudos to Brianne. Brianne, this is his, I guess we're in week number 7 thus far, but Brianne, has gone through the training with MotoVitality, and I am just completely and totally excited for his excitement for the industry and for his hard work. He has been out there every night until 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, where he's going through neighborhoods, he's checking out new construction, talking to new homeowners, meeting with people. His hard work has definitely been paying off. He's been able to get quite a few appointments, and I'm totally impressed. He's out there on Saturdays, 10 o'clock, 5 o'clock. He's out there on Saturdays talking to people, and, I'm super excited. He has 4 or 5 sales under his belt, 2 of which are creative, and he's rocking it. So I appreciate you, Brianne, and all of your hard work that you're doing.
It's always hard to come in and learn a brand new industry. I think one of the coolest things is kind of the creative appointments, you know, the going out there from scratch. And actually, there's nothing better than, first off, I mean, it feels good to close your first few sales, but to go out there and create it, to know that you brought business in that the company would not have had without your efforts is a good, that's just a great feeling. But thank you, Jen. And yeah, Brianne, welcome. I had an opportunity to meet you a couple weeks ago, and I concur. So welcome. Anybody else? All right. So every 2 years, the Water Quality Association puts out a consumer study, and where they go through and they take a representative sample from across the country, and they ask surveys, and they get these, they get in return. They put this together. It's some really interesting information. Sometimes you can see trending. I find it interesting to see the consistency year after year after year on some of the answers. But I wanted to take a few minutes and just go over some of the things that stood out as I was reviewing the survey from last year. So normally they you know, so this was done in 2019. Normally they introduce this thing at convention. Obviously, because of COVID, we did not go to convention this year. And it is published online, though. Now, there are two versions of the consumer study. For those of you that are not WQA members or who do not have the full access to WQA's website, then there's a summary study, which still has some really excellent information on that. You can get to that by going to WQA.org and then clicking on resources, and you'll see that. And then there's a members version, which is a lot more detailed version. It breaks down into the data and really gives some explanations on more and more details on some of the data. Obviously, in today's call, we're not going to have time to go through the entire thing, but there were a few things that I just wanted to highlight. And maybe, as we have time, talk a little bit about how that impacts us out there, you know, when we are doing what we're doing, how we're marketing, how we're going about doing our business. So let me just start right off by just reading the summary page here on some of the kind of the introduction summaries. I can get my glasses because, you know, got to have those. All right. So it starts right off by saying Americans were clearly concerned about their overall quality of life being affected by the environment, according to the 2019 WQA Consumer Opinion Study. And their concern has grown since the last survey in 2017. The independent survey was conducted by Applied Research West, Inc. in January of 2019. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch the trends, you know, to see how this COVID thing has an impact when they do the study next year, to see how that's going to come out. But among the major findings on this study, a quarter of the households, 25%, in America are very concerned about the quality of their household's water supply, and another 26 are concerned. So they ask the question, right? So you're on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being very concerned, 2 being concerned, and you had a total of 51% that was either concerned or very concerned with the quality of their water. That's an increase from the 2017 study, when less than 1/5 were very concerned about the quality of their household water, and 24% were concerned. So you only had about 40% back. So you've gone an entire 10 percentage points over that. And that, again, was before COVID. So, you know, when you dig down into that and you think about what might be causing that, I think some of the things that might have something to do with it, you know, there have been a lot of kind of popular documentaries done on Netflix or on Amazon, or, you know, some of the streaming services have done these documentaries that sort of highlight some of the water concerns with PFAS and PFOA in particular. There has been a lot of conversation, or there was last year, on infrastructure and the deteriorating infrastructure and how that impacted our water delivery system. So I think people are becoming more aware of some of the issues that are out there, and I think that was reflected in this study. It was kind of interesting. 4 out of 5 households get municipal water, while 12% have their water have well water, and you had 8% that didn't know the origin, which is kind of interesting, I guess. Both users of municipal water, 54%, and well water, 52%, are not totally confident that their water supply is safe. So their knowledge of contaminants in general, like what they knew, most Americans are somewhat knowledgeable about what contaminants might be found in their water supply. And unaided, almost half identify lead as the primary substance of concern. Consumers identifying lead as a contaminant has grown significantly from previous studies. And that, of course, makes sense because we had the whole Flint, Michigan thing, you know, so people, that's what people heard about. It became very publicized. Over half of the households claim knowledge of contaminants in their water supply. So some say they're very knowledgeable, and 13%, and then 43% said they were somewhat knowledgeable. That's a pretty high number. That's kind of interesting that you've got, almost 60% that are saying they know what's in their water. It's kind of interesting. Almost half identify lead on an unaided basis. In comparison, one-third, 33%, identified lead in the 2017 report. So again, their lead especially jumped up there. On an aided basis, the majority are aware that lead, 88%, and chlorine, 80%, might be found. Slightly fewer mentioned arsenic and radium and pharmaceuticals. The majority of Americans bought some sort of water treatment system when they moved into their current home. The overwhelming majority bought a simple and inexpensive system. The overwhelming majority. I'm going to break that down here in a minute. So they're talking about pitchers, you know, or the faucet-mounted filters. So two-thirds, 63%, purchased some sort of treatment system when they moved into their current home, and more than two-thirds bought a point-of-use product, about 40%, or a pitcher, you know, the pitchers or the faucets, or a refrigerator filter. While the remaining purchases were dominated by reverse osmosis, only 11% of the people moving into a new home bought reverse osmosis systems. The use of products in general, and if anybody has any comments or questions on this or something to add to this, I'm just going through some stats. I'd love to hear a discussion on these as we go through, so feel free to jump in, okay? More than three-quarters, and this has gone up. I've watched this number go up over the last few years, and I'm telling you, this is the one that if you've ever seen any of the presentations I've given on system sales or on reverse osmosis, you'll know that I use this statistic quite regularly. But more than three-quarters of Americans are buying bottled water. So 78%. So it's 76% in 2017. So it's that's a consistent number. But I remember when that used to be 67% a few years back. Okay, that number has gone up and up and up and up. Also similar to the 27 study, slightly fewer than half of the households have a refrigerator system and or a water filtration. So almost one in five households have a water softener. So that number has gone up dramatically. So it was 13% in 2017. It's been as low in the last few years as I've been watching these studies. It's been as low as 9%. So we have had an increase in the number of people that are becoming aware of and are buying water softeners. So almost one in five households have a water softener system installed in their home, so 19%. The overall perception regarding the absolute need for water treatment is almost equally split between those who consider it a necessity and those who consider it a luxury. A little less than half, 44%, thought that purchasing water treatment system was a necessity because of health safety reasons, while a similar number, 41%, thought it was a luxury. When evaluating manufacturers of water filtration systems, the majority thought that two factors were most important in choosing the brand of water system, a manufacturer's guarantee and a warranty. So those are they are considering that to be one of the most important factors, is the warranty, basically, how long the system is going to last. I thought that was kind of interesting. Households with children are far more likely to purchase a water filtration system in the future than those without children. Those without children are far more likely to purchase systems with connectivity than those households without children. Half the households with children, 51%, said they'd consider buying a water filtration system in the future versus only 37% of households without children. Makes sense, right? The kids they're concerned about their health. More than half, 52% of households with children would likely buy a system with connectivity over one that did not have connectivity. So I find that interesting too. So that is a system that, you know, is part of the smart home. These are new questions these days. You know, I think they're talking about connectivity there. Connectivity. I mean, it could be when they're talking about connectivity. I wonder if they're talking about smart homes or connected devices like smart homes, or if they're actually talking about something that's hard plumbed or directly installed in the home. I wonder about that. Does anybody know the answer to that? Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's the connectivity, as in the smart homes and things like that. And that's I'm not a statistics person, but yeah. I do love this part where, you know, if your manufacturer, your dealership offers the, there's different names for it. I'm not going to get into those brand names, but where you can, you know, remotely look at your phone and it tells you if you're low on salt or how much water you use for the day. That's excellent to know if your company does offer that and you're going into the home and they're younger generation, they have children, then that's definitely a sales, not even sales, it's an offer that you can give to them because that's, that's what kids do these days.
So when Americans buy water filtration systems, they are most concerned with three things. Number one, cost. Number two, eliminating contaminants. And number three, performance. So they want to see better quality, taste, and appearance. Americans want value first. They're far more interested in a brand that promotes 100% guarantee and strong warranty than claims of being made or assembled in America. This is an interesting one, okay? I found, now this was done, you know, last year. I wonder if that is going to change now, you know, because we've had there, I know out in the field, I have heard a lot more of that just recently, you know, where the American made is becoming more important, especially as we begin to have, you know, the conversations politically with some of our international relationships, our trade relationships. So I think it'll be interesting to see that. But when the study was done, it says they want value first. They don't really care as much whether or not it's being made or assembled in America. I do get a sense that that is changing a little bit right now. I don't have any, I mean, that could be just what's happening in my bubble, you know. So Americans are moderately interested in new connectivity products that utilize apps. Oh, yeah, so this is what we're talking about, right? So they're moderately interested in new connectivity products that utilize apps to manage their systems. They're equally willing to buy an unbranded product with connectivity over a branded product without connectivity. That's interesting. So they're willing to buy something new that they're not familiar with that has connectivity over something that they're aware of without it. Interesting. So what it means is in designing websites and marketing materials to consumers, the emphasis should be on delivering a product that eliminates contaminants and delivers quality water at a reasonable cost. Americans are willing to try new products with connectivity over others without, but it's imperative that the new product delivers quality water at a reasonable cost. Interesting. The majority of Americans buy some sort of water treatment system when they move into a new home, although most purchase lower end products, a significant number do use higher end point of use or whole house systems. What that means is when Americans move into a new residence, they're likely to consider new water treatment products. There are numerous new neighbor programs throughout America that offer excellent opportunities for manufacturers and specialty companies. Most Americans are familiar with inexpensive systems and refrigerator systems. They have some familiarity with RO systems and very limited familiarity with any other type. So more importantly, they have very limited understanding regarding which systems are the most effective. What that means is Americans are clearly concerned with contaminants and the taste in their tap water. They need to be shown how these other lesser known systems have greater value if they can deliver better tasting water free of contaminants. Now there were some other stats that I wanted to go through, and there's nearly 50 pages on this that I am not going to go through, but the ones that I really wanted to talk about a lot were, you know, the 78% who use bottled water, yet only 11% are buying reverse osmosis systems. That was kind of interesting. I always compare that. Look, if they're buying bottled water, they are paying for a water treatment system. They're paying for a reverse osmosis system. And are you going to get everybody to cut down and not use that much bottled water? Of course not. People, we like our convenience. In fact, when you look at the reasons, when you go, you dig down, one of the questions they ask here is why you buy bottled water. It's really interesting. I'm going to get to that slide here. It's really interesting on why they say, oh, I'm going to talk about this real quick before I go. who is considered a water quality expert in your area. This is one that I wanted to talk about too. So I'm gonna get to the why they buy bottled water here in a second. But this one was interesting. Who is considered a water quality expert in your area? 28%, they didn't know at all. They didn't have any idea. And by the way, that has dropped down. So that's good. I find it interesting. The last study in 2017, there were 38% said water treatment dealers and technicians. This year, it's only 25% say water treatment dealers and technicians. You get the equal with the city. They consider the city to be the water quality expert, so 25%. Certified water specialists, they say 13%. Plumbers, they say 3%. Bottled water companies, 3%. Well drillers, 1%. So, I mean, we are up there, but if only a quarter of the people out there see us as the water quality expert, we need to do a better job of letting them know. Not only, see, I think we sometimes focus so much on the fact that we sell stuff that we forget to let them know that we are experts, right? That we know our stuff, and you should be an expert. Educate yourself, make yourself that expert, get it out there. Okay. So, I'm going to pass, let's see. I wanted to go to, reasons for purchasing water treatment. And I think this is really important. I'm concerned about the contaminants in tap water, 31%. Tap water does not taste good, 31%. It's convenient, 24%. It's better than tap water, 24%. I'm concerned with the high risk of tap water. Basically, you go all the way through that, and what you discover is that, I mean, there are reasons for doing it that are not always addressed by putting in a reverse osmosis. We can't assume that they are just, wanting to get rid of the plastic or that it's because they're concerned about the water. We have to drill down and really ask why they are buying those things. Okay. Just looking here in the reasons they buy a water softener, same thing. Why are they? So here it is. Reasons for installing a water filtration system. Tap water does not taste good. 60%. Is why they would install a water filtration system in general, not only by bottled water, but just why they would put it in. Concerned about the contaminants in the tap water, 39%. Only concerned about having better feeling hair and or skin, 3%. 3% of them said that was a concern, better feeling skin or hair. Okay, I want to be able to extend the life of water using appliances, 8%. Say that's why they would put in a water filter, a water treatment system. I'm concerned about whether the tap water is safe to drink. Even that one is only, I find that interesting. That's only 10%. And 60% is because the water doesn't taste good. Okay, but I guess this is kind of I'm concerned about the contaminants in the tap water. It's a similar question. There's 39% that say they're concerned about the contaminants in the tap water. But then I'm concerned about whether the tap water is safe to drink is only 10%. I think that's an interesting way to, maybe it's just because the way they're wording the question. But, you know, when we go in there and we are selling these water softeners, all these things that a water softener does for us, those are really low concerns in terms of why people are buying water treatment equipment. There was one that I wanted to talk about down here before we run out of time. So here's places where water filtration was purchased. This was kind of interesting. A home improvement store such as Home Depot or Lowe's, half of them, 51%. Department or discount store is 23%. Local water treatment dealer was only 20%. 17% is online. Now this is a water filtration device all around. Okay. So this is it's not necessarily a softener or a whole house filter or any of that, but, now, this is the stat that I found interesting. So the question is, who installed your reverse osmosis? And then they want you to, they ask their respondents to state what was most important to them as, you know, for their installers. This is pretty consistent year after year after year when I look at these, and it always surprises the heck out of me. Okay, so for the installer, this is the installer that goes into the home. The ability to answer their questions, the ability to answer all the homeowner's questions is the most important. So 45% lists that as very important. And add that to 27%. Now you've got what, 67, 67% that say that the ability to answer questions is either important or very important. 67% say that is product knowledge. It's 28 and 38%. So what is that? That's 58, pretty close, 64% again, right? So, I mean, right there, I did that math right in my head. Pretty impressive, huh? But, I mean, so you've got over two-thirds of them say the ability to answer questions and product knowledge are the most important characteristics, okay? Also, politeness is up there. Now, the politeness one, I'm glad to see that back pretty normal. It's 29 and 35%. So you've got, what, 64% on that one as well that say that politeness is important. They don't care if you're licensed as a plumber. Only about half care if you're licensed as a plumber, but 15% say that's not important at all. This is what's interesting to me, right? Okay, in professional appearance. 14% and 9%, like you've got 23% there that don't even care at all. Add that to another 27%. Half the people out there, literally half the people, could care less what the installer looks like. They don't even consider that. 21% consider it important. That's for professional appearance. You've got almost twice as many that care about your ability to answer questions and product knowledge than how the installer looks about their professional appearance. Isn't that really interesting? And now let's look at the salesperson and kind of do the same thing. The ability to answer questions, for a salesperson. 27 and 45, so 72%, is that right? So 72%, so three-quarters of the people out there say the ability for the salesperson to answer questions about the equipment is either important or extremely important. Product knowledge, 28 and 38%, so 64% on that one. So two-thirds of the people, again, say product knowledge is out there. All of those, what's interesting to me is the ability to answer questions and product knowledge are more important than politeness, which is 29 and 35%. So it's still up there, but not nearly as high as product knowledge and the ability to answer questions. And then professional appearance, again, you're less than 50%. Less than half the people out there say that professional appearance matters with the salesperson. They don't care. I think that's just really 14% say it doesn't matter at all. That is not even remotely important. Not at all important, they say. So and add that with the not important or the not at all important, you've got a quarter of them. And so 9% plus 14%. So what, 23% are saying they don't care what the salesperson looks like, their professional appearance. But man, three-quarters of them definitely care whether or not the salesperson knows their stuff. Isn't that kind of interesting? Does that strike you guys as interesting, or is that just kind of my overthinking stuff?
No, actually, I find that really interesting because I can tell you the better I'm dressed, the better my sales.
Yeah, well, and it might have more to do with your confidence too when you're walking in. So listen, we're pretty much out of time, but here's my summary on this study. Number one, if you have not had a chance to go in and read this thing and review it, I would encourage you to do so. Number two, I think this is what we pull from these types of studies. And I have seen this in our industry for years, and it's very frustrating to me, okay? But here's what I take from this stuff. Sometimes what we are selling, what the marketing people in our office are doing, or the manufacturers, what the manufacturers are asking us to sell, what we think we want to sell, what we get in the habit of selling and presenting, and what the way we're presenting them in the home, we all fall into this trap of doing it the same way that all the other dealers do it. I think it's really important to go through and take this information and look at it and possibly adjust not only what we're selling, but how we're selling. Focus on what the consumers year after year after year are telling us they want and what they need. I think it's really, really important to understand that just because we want to sell it a certain way doesn't mean they want to buy it a certain way. You know, the example I've given this for years is you got 78% of the people out there buying bottled water as an alternative to the drinking water, and only 18% buying water softeners. Okay, that means that just by that alone, it shows you that if we go in and we're presenting all water softeners first and foremost, then we're not talking to what the priorities of our customers are. We need to talk to our customers, ask them, find out what their interests are, and do our own little surveys in the homes. But I am going to post the link to the summary WQA survey in the podcast description, okay? So you can get that, or you can go to WQA.org and get it. The one that I was reading off today was the more thorough version, which really digs a lot deeper into these. So I wanted to give everybody just a taste of this stuff today, let you know the information was there, and encourage you to really explore it and use it and let's, you know, let's present our industry the way our customers are looking for us to. With that, we are out of time. Thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate it as always. And I will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe.